And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is waiting for God to save us. My special guest is Pastor Eli James. And Pastor Eli, you were mentioning earlier in the show, according to the scriptures that you quoted, that the horrors that we're now seeing throughout the world are our judgment. But these horrors are being caused by the psychopaths.
That's right.
So God is allowing the psychopaths to do what they do to judge those who don't want to do evil. Is that how it works?
Well, he is allowing, as I said earlier, he is allowing the evildoers to draw out as much rope as they need to hang themselves so that they ultimately judge themselves. However, there is an aspect of reality that the Judeo-Christian world simply refuses to acknowledge, and that is deception. Okay? Eve was deceived. That's what the Bible says. She was not tempted, as they falsely report. We all know that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. If our intentions are wrong and contrary to God's will, they will not succeed. Nothing will prosper unless He permits it according to His will. Okay? Again, we have the free will to obey His law or to go against it. The problem for those that are caught in the middle here is most of us believe we're doing right when we're not. Okay? Those of us who are tricked, have been tricked and deceived by the master artist of deception, we will not be judged according to our intentionality. In fact, here, let me quote from the email that you sent me. The way I see things, intention is the key, and that's absolutely right. If you intend to do evil, then Yahweh will judge you for your intent, especially if you go through with it, right? We all make mistakes in judgment here in this hell on earth. I have deemed myself to have a PhD in minionology due to the number of minions that have hoodwinked me over the years, most of them probably Jews, right? But this experience is what has enabled me to develop my discernment so that I am less likely to be hoodwinked. That's exactly what Martin Luther was saying. That he had learned from tribulation who his deceivers were. Now, he wrote a book called The Jews and Their Lies. The Jews have successfully put that book in the memory hole. Even the Lutheran Church does not distribute that book. Now, they distribute the 95 Theses, which condemn the Catholic Church for its evils, right? But they hide the Jews in their lies. How did this happen? Okay? What Yahweh is doing, he is using this process to select his remnant people, those who are capable of understanding the art of deception and overcoming it. You must overcome the world, Jesus said. You must be an overcomer. Okay? So the ultimate reward is predestinated for the overcomers, those who choose to become overcomers. The evil ones will be wiped out and cease to exist, as it says in the parable of the wheat and the tares, and it also says so in the book of Revelation. Everybody caught in the middle will get another chance in the kingdom to make peace with Yahweh. Okay? But the government of the kingdom will be administered by the remnant. And the last time we spoke about this, it was only briefly, I made a correlation to the immune system. What Yahweh is doing, he is perfecting his immune system, that is, we overcomers, so that there will be a class of people of the Adamic race who can never be deceived again, and that when the body politic is threatened again by some deceiving antigen that has invaded the body, we will recognize it and deal with it promptly. It will no longer be able to create this anti-immune disorder that the world is in right now. Okay?
Okay, that's actually an excellent explanation. My concern is that the entire earth, its food supply, nature, right, everything is going to be destroyed before that right happens. I mean, we're already on the cliff.
Well, we're definitely on the cliff, but Jesus himself says that if I don't intervene, no flesh shall be saved. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So he knows how bad it's, and he's deliberately allowing it to get this bad so that those of us with intelligence and who should have intelligence and should know better choose good over evil. Rather than pretend that evil doesn't exist, which is what the churches are teaching today, or that it's irrelevant, that you're all saved anyway, so it doesn't matter what the Jews do to the Palestinians, right, or what they're doing to the planet. We're all saved. This is the nonsense. Now, Dr. Carley, I ask you, how can any sane individual believe such nonsense?
They can't. They've been hoodwinked.
They can't. They have no excuse. They have to have had talked themselves into that ridiculous belief.
Yes.
It's deliberate ignorance. On the
okay? It's not just deliberate, though. That's my whole point. They're using all kinds of technology.
Oh,
and I'm
yeah.
sure in those mega churches, they've got sound of silence, hypnosing, frequencies
yeah.
going out to those people.
Right.
So it's not like they're
yeah.
it's all intention on their part. They're being manipulated.
Right.
Their minds are being manipulated.
Yes, yes. But as the correlation with the, you know, the immune system, a lot of the white blood cells of the immune systems wind up dying while they're fighting against the infection. Okay? The immune system cannot totally conquer the infection until a certain number of white blood cells have reacted properly to the invading antigen. Okay? That's what's happening. Because, see, when Lucifer rebelled, he created an autoimmune defection within the universal body. If Yahweh could have cut it out, he would have done so. But you can't cut your spleen out. You can't cut your heart out. These important organs are there. They're part of the holistic being of the body, right? You can't just cut it out and expect it to be safe. It has to be cured in the proper way. It has to be dealt a dose of antibiotics, if you will, okay? So here's how the Bible explains how evil came into being. This is Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, which means light-bearer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? And he's doing that right now. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. So, here's Lucifer, a created being with intelligence, with free will, saying, oh, I want to be God. I don't want to accept you and your law. So that is, okay, is pride. Lucifer committed the sin of pride at a very high level of being. And this has devolved, it infected this planet Earth because the same infection came to Adam and Eve, and it's infecting our lives right now. I know your concern is all the innocent lives that are being destroyed because of all this, okay? The only answer I can give you is that this is the only way he can eliminate the infection, random acts of violence by the Zionists, kill a lot of people, injure a lot of people, all these wars that we're having. But ultimately, this evil will be destroyed. The immune system must adapt to the infection before it can be destroyed. Okay?
But when the infection originally occurred, he could have wiped it out from the get-go.
Well, I think I addressed that. It's a holistic body. You can't just rip out an organ and expect the rest of the body to function correctly, right?
No, it's not an organ. It's an infection. You could have eradicated the infection from the get-go.
Yeah. Well, let's say the infection is in your brain, okay? Is it going to tear out the brain, right? So it's not that simple. I wish it were. But it's just not that simple. And so the Bible, the 6,000-year of prophetic plan is very clearly stated that, okay, this infection has happened to the Adamic species. It has affected the whole world and the universe, not just this planet. It has affected the whole universe. But he has a plan of curing the disease, and the disease will be cured once and for all at the judgment day. And it's going to be a fever, right? A fever is actually a good thing. It means your immune system has kicked in and is killing the microbes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's what's happening right now. Okay? All of this collateral damage, I wish it never happened. I'm sure Yahweh doesn't want it to happen either. He says he doesn't want it to happen. But that's the only way, given the fact that we have free will, that evil can be addressed. Okay? Because if we don't have free will, we really don't have consciousness. We don't exist. It's meaningless to exist if we don't have free will.
Okay. Actually, right. these are very good things that you're saying, and I'm taking it all in. We have a number of callers on the line waiting to comment. But before we get to them, one of the most important things I want to ask you, and that's why I answered the question, what's ailing America today with waiting for God to save us,
right,
is what are we supposed to do? What are spiritual people with a conscience, with truly good intentions, supposed to do when we are faced with psychopaths? And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is waiting for God to save us, with my special guest, Pastor Eli James. And now we're getting to the crux of the answer to my question today, because the big concern I have is that so many Christians are out there waiting for God to save them.
Right.
And
they
see this evil all around them. They see people's children being killed, their houses being stolen. The list is endless. The courts have been created to allow the wrongdoers to go free, especially if they're Masons or high-level Jews or whatever the case may be.
Right.
They have developed this system of law to avoid evidence being presented and all kinds of other things. So, my question to you before the break is, what is the proper response of people to these psychopaths? Are we supposed to sit back and do nothing? Or are we supposed to do something?
Yeah, we're definitely supposed to do something, more than something. We're supposed to call upon his name and obey his commandments, as it clearly says in both the Old and New Testament. The vast majority of Christians aren't doing that, and we know the Jews are definitely rebelling against his commandments because the Talmud is the exact opposite of the laws of Moses. So, but Paul said that Jesus is to be our example. So what did Jesus do? Well, you look through all four Gospels. On virtually every page of those four Gospels, Jesus Christ condemned the Pharisees for their false religion, for their hypocrisy, for their exploitation of the poor, for deceiving the people with all this false religion, and pitting one group against another. And he actually told these Pharisees that the converts they make are twice the children of hell as themselves. So why aren't we following his example by condemning the evildoers just as Jesus Christ did?
How is condemning them going to stop them?
Well, it's first of all, you have to create awareness among the people that all of this is happening. And and Yahweh is alive. Thanks to the internet, we are getting this message out as never before, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so, Dr. Kiley, the vast majority of people are people of good conscience. They want to do the right thing. Most people are not active evildoers. However, you cannot stand on the sidelines and watch all this evil taking place as if Christianity were a spectator sport. It is not a spectator sport. Jesus said, "The broad is the path that leadeth to destruction. Narrow is the path that leadeth to salvation." And the churches are teaching the broadest path possible, but Jesus says the exact opposite. Many are called, few are chosen. Because you have to have the fire in the belly to fight against evil. If you don't have that fire in the belly, you will not become one of his elect.
Okay, once again, how is condemnation going to stop them? Let me finish. The way I look at these monsters, they're like parasites amongst us. If you have a parasite in your body, you kill it. You don't pray for it. You don't condemn it. You get rid of it. Okay?
Right.
So what are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to just condemn these people? Because now we have the ADL calling us anti-Semites.
Right.
We're hate crimers. Okay?
Yeah.
So what are we supposed to do?
Well, I think this is the beginning of the rallying cry. You know, our people have their backs against the wall. And the problem with Israel, through Israel historically, has been that when we become too prosperous, we get fat and lazy, and we stop addressing the critical issues in our society. Okay? We get concerned about ourselves, first and foremost, instead of working to solve society's problems. There used to be a saying that a Christian would want to leave the world a better place than it was before he died. They don't say that anymore, right? That saying is gone. The Christians simply exist so that they can put their butts in the pews and collect shekels in the baskets and pretend that they're saved already. They have been so thoroughly deceived by the Antichrist to believe that everything's fine. Half of them don't even believe there's such a thing as evil, and the other half, as we said earlier, are actually supporting it.
Right.
So
a
tremendous awakening is in order here, okay?
Yes. I totally agree with you, and you and I are doing everything we can to help that happen, and I know it is happening because of the responses I'm getting from my shows. I get over 1,000 emails a day. I mean, people are waking up. But they don't know what to do. They don't know what to do. When you have a corrupt judge, a corrupt doctor, a corrupt whatever, are you supposed to just submit? Are you supposed to lay down and say, okay, give me your chemo and radiation. I know it'll kill me, but it's covered by insurance.
These
are the frustrations that I have.
Right. Well, again, on an individual basis, you know, it's very tough, but the Bible is very clear about Yahweh will protect you if you obey his laws. It states it over and over again, especially Deuteronomy chapter 28, which I repeat that the churches have abandoned God's laws, and that's why all these curses are coming upon us. So if we go back to his laws, and it's not just a matter of, you know, having a good heart, being well-intentioned, doing the right thing on my own. You have to also acknowledge his existence, that he is the one who created the entire universe. He gave me my consciousness, the appreciation that I am a self-conscious being, which I wouldn't have without him. Just all he wants is some acknowledgement from his children. But his children are so asleep with delusion, and some of them are totally rebellious, that they don't even give him any acknowledgement. So it's just like the father or the parent saying, please, you know, thank me for what I've done for you. Once in a while, right? That's all he's asking, and to obey his law.
Dr. Carly, can I chime in one second?
Go ahead.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Hi, this is Bill. You made me think of something, and that is, like, what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do against all this evil? I mean, I do know that we are supposed to fight evil.
Mm-hmm.
And I do know that, you know, I remember the parable, Pastor, about the three servants given different degrees of talents.
Right.
And I do know that we all exist on different stages of this world. I think what we're supposed to do is take care of what's in front of us with the abilities that we have. We don't, like you said beautifully, this is not a spectator sport. We're supposed to stand up and be accounted for. We're supposed to stand into the breach and resist evil to the best of our abilities.
Yeah.
And that's the end of it.
Resist evil and the devil will flee from you. Apostle James. Okay? The problem is that most Christians, the ones who have been entrusted with fighting evil, have given up the fight. So it has devolved upon us. And so, Dr. Kelly, even though I'm not sure if you consider yourself a Christian or not, but you are doing the right thing. You are doing the right thing. You will be rewarded for the good that you are doing. No doubt about it.
Well, see, I ask a lot of hard questions because I'm trying to make common sense out of this conundrum that we find ourselves in.
Right.
And that's why I do shows like this, because my problem is, as I said at the beginning of the show, there are so many people giving different translations and different interpretations of the Bible and all this stuff. While the evil is running rampant, they're mm-hmm. doing nothing to stop it.
Right.
So that's
right.
why my opinion is that people should stand up and stop it, not just resist it, but stop it in
right.
any way that they can, and
yeah.
then we can fight about the translations yeah. and the scriptures and all the rest later.
Right.
Because
that is a mistake.
Our
yeah.
world
that
is dying. Our world
right.
is dying. We're running
right.
out of time.
Well, see, part of the lesson, Rebecca, if I might call you Rebecca, is that we're not supposed to fight alone. Number one, we're supposed to fight as a people, okay, mm-hmm. to protect our own heritage, to protect our beliefs, to protect everything that the Antichrist is trying to destroy. We can't do this on an individual basis. We'll get run over, okay? The lesson for us, Jesus said, greater love hath no man than to lay down your life for your friends. That doesn't mean you have to die for your friends. It means put yourself out there for your friends, for your loved ones, for your family, for your race, for your people, okay? If you're only motivated by selfishness, then you're part of the problem. You're still part of the problem, right?
Well, I agree with
you. You have to have a social conscience. And you have to be outraged when evil takes over the world. And if you don't have that outrage, what good are you?
I totally agree with you. And this has been imbued in me since I was a child. I don't know where I got it from. It certainly wasn't my family. But I have had this inside of me since being
Amen.
A small child. Any
Amen.
Injustice and any bad thing, I always tried to do whatever I could to stand up to it, stop it, whatever the case may be. And in my fight against the medical mafia, this has become so huge because the problem is you're saying we have to join together with others. Well, you and I are like two peas in a pod because you trying to talk to the pastors in the Christian churches is like me trying to talk to the doctors and getting them to realize that their entire profession has been corrupted and they're killing people.
Right, and they're showing signs of waking up. You know, you wouldn't have alternative medicine growing like it is if that were true. Okay.
Yeah, but the Jews have their ways of controlling that too.
Oh yeah,
bring in Obamacare, buy your insurance by force, and then nothing is covered by insurance at work.
Right.
Yeah, I know.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, we just have to keep hammering away, but through this tribulation. We come together as a people and understand we hurt for each other. It's called compassion.
Yeah.
It's called compassion. We learn compassion for each other because of this, which we wouldn't have otherwise, because otherwise we're selfish, right? But, yeah, there are certain groups, there are certain people who have this inbred distaste for injustice. I can't explain why everybody doesn't have it. It amazes me that other people don't have it. They're content to just sit around and do nothing while the Zionist steamroller destroys country after country. It just amazes me that everybody doesn't have the fire in the belly that you and I do. It just amazes me. I can't understand it.
Let me give you my answer to that, because this is also a question I've asked over the years, is that some people are willing to sell their soul for cash. And that's what's very sad, is that they believe that if they do what they're told, they'll be left alone. And as I always say on my show, evil is evil even to its own. You can be a CIA psychiatrist making Manchurian candidates. You can do whatever you're told to do and make lots of money. But when your usefulness is gone, they will kill you.
That's right.
Because that's how it works. And so that's the problem I see, is that the selling of souls type thing is going on.
Yeah.
And that's not to mention fear. Let me just bring up fear.
Because
they're scaring people. People see what's happening. Hillary Clinton stands up there in front of C-SPAN and says, we have to stop people from being you know, slaughtered for standing up for human rights and blah, blah, blah. Where is that happening more here in the United States? The fact that people could watch this witch and even buy into that is just amazing to me.
It is amazing. It's utterly amazing, But again, the devil is very wily. He cons people, and it's just like, how do you get addicted to a drug? It's a little bit at a time, right? you keep on inhaling, you keep on dosing, until finally you're hooked. That's how it works, okay? And that's how you get compromised. There's a reason why the CIA has a slogan. It says, nobody gets out of here alive.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yep. You don't get out of there alive. Not voluntarily. Either you retire and keep your mouth shut, or they'll get rid of you, right?
Right.
Nobody gets out of here alive, you know. But here, Paul, I want to address one more issue, and that's the parable of the wheat and the tares. First, I just want to summarize how Romans 8:18 summarizes our situation, the tribulation that we're all going through. Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Okay? Nothing is gained by sitting on your duff doing nothing. You have to exercise your moral compassion and moral passion to get anywhere against this evil world. And they will flee from you if you exercise your moral power. We have moral authority over them. They know it. And
I just want to back you up on that, because one of my most amazing moments, I thought I heard the music, and no, I guess not.
No.
One of my most amazing moments in court in front of these monsters was a judge actually told me, you will never see your son again if you don't stop doing what you're doing. And I looked her right in her serpentine eyes, and I said, I will not make a deal with the devil. And she was in shock. She was in shock. They're not used to that. You know, they expect people to say, oh, whatever you want. And I'm thinking to myself, who would make a deal with you?
That's
you're the devil.
Exactly. Yeah.
The devil doesn't
treat that
word,
perception.
So why would you make it?
Right.
Yeah.
You knew what you were dealing with. See, Eve did not realize what she was dealing with. She was a bit naive, a bit gullible, you know, and that's where our people are still at today. They haven't learned the lesson that you must, you know, what your parents tell you. Look both ways before crossing the street, right? Don't touch that hot stove. We have to listen to our parents. The advice they give us is good. Don't listen to these strangers who are telling you lies, all right? So the whole Christian world is like a dumb little child believing, you know, in the candy store, trying everything out and thinking it's all good. It's not all good. You have to exercise.
I just wanted to mention another very important lie that they've infiltrated into the Christian churches, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And that is that your good deeds don't matter. You know, it's all about belief.
That's
doesn't matter
lie.
What you do. You can sin all you want. Just put a few extra shekels in the collection plate every Sunday, and everything will be fine.
Yeah, that's a lie. It's an absolute lie. Jesus says, those who overcome shall be saved. You can't be an overcomer if you're just sitting around doing nothing. You just can't. That's one of the most monstrous lies of the Judeo-Christian churches. It's tortuous logic that they arrive at that conclusion. Okay?
That's another show.
Yeah,
we can do another show. And I wanted to ask you quickly before we get to some of the callers that have been waiting patiently.
Okay.
Have you ever confronted any of the Christian pastors with your knowledge and your documentation?
Yes.
See, it's just like I have all kinds of documentation of what medicine has become. I'm just curious if you've ever confronted any of the other quote-unquote Christian pastors with your information and seen what they said. Please share.
I do on a regular basis. I often challenge them to debate issues. I do on by email fairly regularly, because people hear about my ministry and they want to challenge my ministry, and therefore I start responding chapter and verse, okay? And so it doesn't take long before they find out that I'm right, this evil that's in the world today has been created by the very people they think are God's chosen. And that, you know, when I quote chat, Paul says, the law is good. He says the law is good, okay? What the mistake they make is thinking that when he's talking about the law, it's a very general word, just like in English today, the word law can apply to the police outside your door, right? It can apply to the actual written law in the documents. It can apply to the courtroom. You know, all these things are the law, right? You have to specify what usage of the word law Paul is talking about at that point, okay? And then if you don't pay really close attention, then you get it all wrong. And that's what they've done. And then they've ignored all of the teachings of Paul where he backs up the law, okay? So it's a one-sided argument. They have very craftily selected this verse and that verse and ignore contrary verses. That's how they've come up with this argument, okay? But I want to get back to, did you say you got some callers?
No, go ahead. Finish up your thought, and then we'll bring the callers on.
Yeah, because I want to talk about the parable of the wheat and the tares. And this is the only parable that the apostles asked him to explain, okay? It's Matthew chapter 13, verse 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares in the field. He answered and said to him, he that sows the good seed is the Son of Man. Okay, that's he, my children. I sowed them. Verse 38, the field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be a wailing and a gnashing of teeth. Why don't the churches teach this parable?
Well, and I would just add,
Jesus loves everybody, including the sinners. That's what they teach.
Right. Jesus loves the Jews, yeah.
Yeah,
and when you're reading that, it made me think of Monsanto actually genetically modifying seeds so that they create its own pesticides to destroy, the natural plant life.
Yeah.
I mean, it's straight from hell.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That was excellent. Okay,
yes,
let me start bringing on some callers if I could.
Right. Okay.
Let's see, we have a caller from area code 479. Are you there, caller?
If this is me, I am here.
Go ahead. What would you like to say?
Yeah, great conversation. This is Doug from Arkansas. Yeah,
okay. Hi, Doug.
I've been following this conversation that you guys have had for a long time. I like the Bible. You know, I think it's a valuable book, and I'm a student of it. And but I'm also, I watch what people do and how they act, even if they claim that they're acting according to the Bible. But
yeah,
in First John, we have a verse that talks about, you have God, little children, and have overcome. That
right.
Word again, right?
Overcome. Right.
Overcome. Okay. And what are you doing to overcome? Well,
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. What are you doing? What does that actually mean, overcome? But anyway,
right.
Back to this verse here. It says, you are God, little children, like your precious son.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay, wait, hold on, caller. I hear the music. We're going to break. We'll let you finish up on that on the other side. And, of course, I hate that term little children because it implies that you're too stupid to stand up like a man or a woman and do something. Okay, we'll be right back after the break. Stay tuned, folks. And we're back with the last segment of What's Ailing America, where our answer today is Waiting for God to Save Us. Okay, caller, I'll come back on and make your final comments, and then we have a couple of the callers holding on. Go ahead.
Hello, Doug. Yes. Doug, you're on.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I mean, there's no question about waiting for God to save us. God is a benevolent, loving being, or else he wouldn't have produced life in the way he did, where even our human body, and I've been involved in massage therapy and reflexology and everything, and studied way beyond those aspects to realize that the Creator actually made our bodies and gave us rights to be able to survive. So that's not a question.
Hold on. I totally disagree. The earth is being destroyed. The food is being destroyed. The planet is being destroyed. Okay? A body cannot survive if it's being vaccinated under a coercion, if it doesn't have organic food to eat and pure water to drink, etc., etc., etc.
You mentioned a verse, let me switch to it. 1 John 4, I'll read verses 1 through 3. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. This should be the number one preaching of the churches today, but of course, since they are the false prophets, they're not going to quote this verse. Verse 2, hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is what the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Now, Doug, let me ask you a question. Which group of people confess not that Jesus Christ is the Son of God come in the flesh?
Well, thank you for asking me that, because I just, before I came to be able to speak with you, I wrote that verse down.
Okay.
Yeah. And notice that it says, is come in the flesh, not
right.
Has. The subject is not about Christ having been lived, but Christ actually living in people.
Yes.
Okay. That's the subject. These people there's evil and it's ruling, but the promise is that eventually it's going to end. We cannot describe or tell, you know, why God designed it this way, but he's God. And the thing is of pride and humbleness is to say, okay, he's designed this, and all you have to do, everyone listening to my voice, all you have to do is trust in this God, and you will see, as I've known for over 30 years, that he will come to your rescue. He will provide for you. He will do it. Now, as to
the question I asked
her son, I can't answer that question, but I would just say maybe she, because she is the provider, she's a protector, and we learn as we go on. I learned 30 years ago that I have to believe for the Creator's protection for my children. Maybe she didn't know that then, and that's why.
I did know that then, and my son is not being protected. And that's the reason I have this problem.
Mm-hmm.
I know, and I love you, and I
okay,
feel with your hurt.
Okay,
I
doesn't
feel
help.
With your hurt, but God is the creator. He's
right.
the power that we have to
right. and he is deemed
resource
like
into.
He's satanically, ritually abused, and that's just a
well,
mystery that I have to wonder.
Yeah.
Okay,
I know,
thank
I
you
know
for your
because,
comment.
Okay, because a lot
okay.
of things have been taught that... in scripture, have been manipulated in scripture that he allows
that doesn't
it,
answer,
but that's not
that
true.
Doesn't answer my problem. My son was 3 years old. Okay? So thank you for your comments. I want to get on to the next caller. We have a caller
okay,
from 305. Are you there, caller?
Hello?
Hello? Are you there?
Okay, I guess not.
Okay, go ahead. Close it up, Pastor Eli. We're almost out of time anyway.
All right. Well, the question is very difficult. Why is there evil? Okay? And without seeing the big picture of the fall of Lucifer, the rebellion in heaven, the fallen angels coming down to earth, causing all kinds of havoc, and engaging us humans in their evil... as a result of their fall, okay, there's really no other explanation for why is there evil, okay? Very, very few theologians really address this issue, but the Bible is very clear that this is the source of evil, and there's a lot of random evil that occurs because of it. All I would say to you, Dr. Carley, is that you have to make sure, let's, for 1 second, let's assume that there is no God. Okay, let's assume there is no God. Who molested your child? Okay. I just
want
to get across. Yeah.
A demon.
Okay, so a demon. All right, so you have to blame the correct, you know, so a Freemason, a child molester, you can't blame that on Yahweh because he did not do that. However, because we have this overarching problem, the universe has been infected by this disease, that these things happen, okay? Our Christian faith tells us that those who fight to the end and those innocents who are, you know, lost in the battle, they will be rewarded for their struggle. They will be rewarded. Christianity is the only religion, as stated in the Bible, that offers this future reward, okay? The reward is not necessarily in this lifetime. You do get blessings in this lifetime if you obey his laws and call upon his name, but the ultimate reward is future, as Paul said in Romans 8. You know, nothing can compare with the future glory. You know, the tribulations that we have in this life, it's like giving birth to a child. You know, while you're giving birth to the child, it's very painful. You're in travail, but once the child is delivered, and this is the kingdom, of course, then and you see the glory, then you'll understand why all this had to be, okay? I believe I have an insight as to why, you know, based on our discussion today, and I think you've agreed with a lot of what I've said, but, you know, you have this problem of innocent people, you know, being subjected to, you know, violent acts, and, of course,
yes.
we all agree that should never happen.
Yes.
However, under the circumstances of free will, if free will means anything at all, it means that Yahweh had to allow people to act according to their own free will and ultimately judge them accordingly. Okay?
Right.
All right.
And once again, let me just say my problem is that only the psychopaths have free will because
okay.
the victims don't have free will. It is not their will to be tortured.
Right. Yeah, right.
Right.
But they will still be rewarded, you know, from the Christian faith. They will get their reward in that future life, you know, because we consider ourselves to be eternal beings, having eternal life, and we're just living 60, 70, 80 years, most of us anyway, to learn what Yahweh wants us to do, okay? And then our children will benefit from that once we finally get it right. In fact, Malcolm Muggeridge put it best. Christianity is a great idea. Too bad it hasn't been tried yet. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The vast majority of Christians are not practicing through Christianity. They're just going through the motions, or they've got it totally backwards and doing it absolutely wrong. So, you know, the compassion for your
for your friends, loved ones, children, is do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Okay? There's too
well,
many people in this world
that.
Who don't believe that, who don't believe that, and act
okay.
totally contrary to that. Yeah.
Well, and my addition to that would be, and do unto the psychopaths what
yeah.
they deserve.
Right.
I mean,
right, exactly.
We have
yeah.
to eradicate these monsters.
Right.
How
yeah.
can we stand by and do nothing?
Yeah. Well, and Paul even says that in Romans chapter 1. He says that all these evildoers, he includes among them homosexuals, he says these people are worthy of death. But we're not powerful enough to do anything about it at the moment. And our people, we as a, remember, this is a group problem. It's not just an individual. We as a people have to come together. And this sort of happened at Pentecost where Peter said, well, we have come together as people with one mind.
With Pastor Eli,
yeah.
Pastor Eli, Yahweh also said that, to answer Dr. Carley's question, we are to be his battle axes, and we are going to
right.
be the tools of his
and
help.
We will be.
We will help them. Yes, we will.
We will be. Yes, we will.
Okay.
We
have been.
We are his battle axes.
We will again. Yes.
We're almost out of time. I just have to bring up one thing. I have many clients that are homosexuals. Not a single one was not sexually abused. So there
yeah,
is
okay.
some aspect to that as well.
Right.
But I just
right.
have to say this whole Chick-fil-A thing, where
yeah.
they have gone to Chick-fil-A because he stood out against gay marriage. They're eating garbage. They're eating slime. They're eating all kinds of things. Isn't it
That's
funny
right.
how that works out?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.